Exodus chapter 8. We're going to start reading tonight in verse 8. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." And Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only?" And he said, "Tomorrow." Hear a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have today to be with your people, to have your word in our hands. We thank you, God, today for the salvation that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word. Pray, Lord, you would bless this service tonight, that you would have your way in the message. Give me the right words and have your way in each heart tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some scriptures in the Bible that just can really throw you a curveball sometimes, and you think, "I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense at all." And this is one of them. You know, God had warned Pharaoh. He had warned him from the beginning that he better do what God said or there'd be a price to pay. And Pharaoh was rebellious, and he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't do God's way. He wouldn't do what God said. So he found himself in a situation where it was not very, very comfortable. It was not very nice. It was a situation that no housewife would ever want. There were frogs everywhere. Frogs all over the place. Frogs in the bedroom, frogs in the bed, under the sheets, in the kitchen, in the pantry, in the bowls. Everywhere you looked, everywhere you walked, there were frogs. He was warned. God told him. Just read this verse here, verse 8:1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, going to Pharaoh, and saying to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs." Pharaoh had fair warning. He had ample warning that to rebel against God meant he was going to have to pay the price. And he paid the price. Not only Pharaoh, but the whole land of Egypt paid the price. There were frogs all over the place. Things got terrible. Even in Pharaoh's own house, there were frogs. You know, things finally got so bad that he called for Moses and Aaron. Now, first of all, why did they have to get so bad? I mean, why do things have to get so bad for us to decide it's time to get help? Why don't we wait until everything is so messed up that we don't have a clue of what to do and we have to go find someone to help us out? You know, there are things that we can solve before they get so serious. Amen. I mean, if you own a car, you understand. If you wait and wait and wait to check your oil, one day you won't have to worry about that anymore. Just put a new engine in it and drive another 100,000 miles, you know. Hey, if you do things, you know, regularly, consistently, every week, you won't have to go see that mechanic and pay the high bill for a new engine. Many times, spiritually, we also let things go so far that we have no clue how to get it fixed, or we're so weak and we're so carnal, we have no clue of what we have to do to get things right. We have to go find somebody like Moses and Aaron to help us out. So he calls for Moses and Aaron. Why did he call for them? Why would Pharaoh call for Moses and Aaron? Why didn't he call for his magicians? I mean, they were able to bring the frogs up. He says, "Wow, frogs, no problem, I can do that." So he did. And the magicians came up, and the magicians were able to do the same thing. And the frogs came up. The only one problem, they couldn't get rid of them. Yeah, that's a problem. Oops. Yeah, I can do that. Watch this. I can get as many frogs as you can. Yeah, that's fine. Bring them on. And now what are you going to do? Yeah, there's a problem there. So he couldn't do it. He couldn't get rid of the frogs, not with the magicians, not with anything else. So he had a call for Moses and Aaron. He calls for someone who knows God. Isn't that amazing how often the world, when they got a problem, they haven't darkened the doors of the church in 20 years. As soon as something goes wrong, man, they're at church on Sunday morning. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for my family. I need help. I mean, I don't know what to do. For 20 years, they haven't asked for a single prayer. When things go bad, they know where to go. So they go, he goes and sends for Moses and Aaron. And it says again in verse 8, then the Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And so Moses said unto Pharaoh, when shall I entreat for thee? Have you ever asked that question? Isn't that strange? I mean, people ask us all the time to pray for them, don't they? Have you ever said, oh, when should I do that? We don't ask that question. I mean, pray for my mom, she's lost. Okay, when? Pray for me, you know, I don't know what to do. I've got a real problem and I've got a decision to make and I don't know what to do. Pray for me. Okay, when should I pray? We don't ask that question. But Moses did. Isn't that amazing? When shall I entreat for thee? You know, God knew something maybe that Moses himself didn't know, but God was setting this thing up. Moses said, okay, when shall I pray for you? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Oh, man, isn't that smart? I am so sick of these frogs. I am tired of stepping on them. I'm tired of finding them in my soup and in my bread and in everywhere. I'm tired of finding them in my pockets and in my shirts and in my pants. Open my drawers. They're all over the place. I get in the bed and they're in my bed. I'm going nuts. So pray for me tomorrow. Wow. Something just doesn't add up here. Some of you tonight are probably telling God the same thing. Some of you tonight, I've got things that God is dealing with you with, whether it's rebellion, whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's sin in your life, whether it's simply a decision you need to make, and you are acting just like Pharaoh. You say, God, I know I need to do this, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll give that up tomorrow. I'll start serving you tomorrow. I'll start living for you tomorrow. I'll give up that sin. I'll confess that sin. I'll get that right. I will reconcile myself to that brother tomorrow. I'll do it later. I know it needs to be done and I'm going to do it, but I'll do it tomorrow. What are you putting off? What are you putting off? We've been here for, well, this is our sixth day. What are you putting off? I have no idea what God is dealing with you with. I don't pretend to be one of these preachers that can say, oh, you know, someone tonight has got a problem with their mother-in-law, you know, and then you just need to get that right. I have no clue. All I can preach to you is the things that I have a problem with, and I can be pretty sure that somebody out there has a similar problem. What are you procrastinating about tonight? What are you saying to God tomorrow about? What are you trying to put off? And why would you? Why would anyone? Why would Pharaoh say tomorrow? I mean, you like sleeping with frogs? You like finding them in your sandwiches? You like finding them in your bed? You like finding them in your pockets when you get dressed in the mornings? Who likes frogs? In their bed. I mean, it's one thing like them in your yard, but in your house, everywhere. Why would Pharaoh say tomorrow? Why would he say, okay, pray for me that God would take them away, but I want them to be taken away tomorrow? Some of you ladies have found mice in your house. Ah! How do you get that mouse out of here? Okay, honey, I'll call the exterminator. No, right now! No! No! Okay, honey, let me go get a stick. No, 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 no! Don't leave the room, don't leave the room! Yeah, you do, you know you do. And a mouse has never bitten you or anything like that, but you can't stand the sight of a mouse. Imagine your house full of frogs. Yeah. And your husband comes home and he says, hi, look at this, all these frogs. Yeah, honey, you know, we gotta get rid of these things. Yeah, I should probably know. You can call them tomorrow, it's alright. We'll... Okay, honey, if you can handle them, I can handle them, you know, no problem, you know. Come on, none of us would say tomorrow. Why would Pharaoh say tomorrow? Pharaoh is in rebellion against God. He does not want to give in. He does not want to say God is right. He does not want to do God's will. And he's saying tomorrow.
That's right.
Why tomorrow? I have no idea. I shouldn't say that. I have an idea, but I'm not positive why Pharaoh said that. But I'd like to just throw some things out tonight. Maybe some of them fit your case. Why tomorrow? Maybe Pharaoh liked them. I don't know. Maybe Egyptians like to eat frogs, you know. I don't know. Maybe you like the things that are in your life that you're saying tomorrow about. Maybe you're just putting God off. Maybe you're just pretending to give in. Maybe you're just pretending and you're not really have, you don't have any intention on giving in. Maybe you say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, but your real thought is, it's all right. I'll do that tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll say tomorrow, and tomorrow, the next day I'll say tomorrow, and it'll be tomorrow forever. Because I am not going to ever give in to God. I am not going to change this thing. I am not going to give in this area. I'm not going to do God's will. I'll change other things, but I won't change this. And you say tomorrow, but you don't mean tomorrow. You mean never. Maybe he just liked it. Maybe you delight. Maybe it's some sin in your life. Maybe you just delight in it. You know, the fact is, the natural man delights in sin. Delights in it. Revels in it. Let's read some verses in Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They delight in lies. Whatever it is God's dealing with you about, is it because you delight in it? And are you refusing to give in because you have pleasure in these things? Because you love this thing? You love this sin? Or you love this attitude? Or you love this whatever it is about you? And you have no plans on giving in ever? Some people do. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 14. Do you delight in lies or hypocrisy? Proverbs 2:14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. So maybe so. Maybe you just like it. Maybe you rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Romans 1:32. Romans 1:32. Let's read verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Maybe you just enjoy it. I don't know your heart. But maybe you're just saying tomorrow, but you're meaning never, because you really enjoy rebelling against God. You enjoy being yourself. You enjoy having your way. You enjoy doing things like you want to do them, and you don't have any intention on ever giving in to God and saying, God, I surrender all. I'll do your will. I'll do it your way, and I will simply surrender my life to you in this area and in this area and in this area, whatever it takes, whatever you're dealing about, I will give in. Is a problem in your life that you just really enjoy and don't even want to think about giving up, a secret sin or rebellion? That's a possibility. I don't know if that was Pharaoh's situation, but I know it's a situation of many people today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Sorry, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Maybe you're saying tonight, tomorrow I'll get saved. Tomorrow I'll call on the Lord Jesus and get saved. But you're really thinking, you ain't got a chance. I ain't going to do that ever. I come here because my friends invite me, but I have no plans on getting saved because I just enjoy unrighteousness. Maybe so. I hope not. I hope that no one here tonight is in that category that says, no, I just want to stay right here where I am. I enjoy the life I'm living. I enjoy the way I am. I like the way I am. And I don't care what God says. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how the Holy Spirit convicts me. I am not going to change what I am because I like who I am. I like what I do. I enjoy living for myself. Or I enjoy doing the things that I do. Maybe so. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Verse 3, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Maybe you not only enjoy it, but you don't think there is any judgment whatsoever for your sin. Maybe you're here tonight and you are lost. You have no assurance of salvation and no plans of calling on the Lord because you don't think that it matters. You think that when you die, you're going to turn to dust and that's all there is to it. And you argue like these people, like Peter said here. People are going to come and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean judgment? What do you mean that God's going to destroy this earth? I mean, look how things have been so constant from the beginning of creation. I got news for you. That's a bunch of baloney.
That's right.
Things have not been constant. I mean, there was a flood that destroyed the entire earth, and only 8 people were saved out of that flood. Don't tell me things have never changed. Don't tell me God's never judged. He judged the entire earth. And we read the other night that God judged an entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, things have continued like they were. Hey, you better wake up. Things are not the same they were from the beginning. God showed his judgment and he's going to show it again. So maybe you just like it. Maybe you enjoy the life you live. But I'm here to warn you tonight, there's coming a day of judgment. God has appointed a day, and he will judge this world by one man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not me. I'm not going to judge you. Don't you worry. I would do a horrible job, but Jesus Christ is going to do it. How are you going to do? You might do all right with me. How are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Why tomorrow? Maybe you just like it. Maybe you just delight it. In sin. Or maybe you just want some time. Maybe Pharaoh wanted some time to find another solution. Maybe he was just putting it off, hoping that there'd be some other way. I mean, anything but giving to God, right? I mean, let's call the, pest control or something, you know? Let's find some other magicians. Maybe some better ones can get rid of these frogs. Maybe he's just buying time to find a better solution. Maybe that's your problem tonight. Maybe you're holding out on God. Maybe you're just waiting and rebelling because you are trying to find some way to get out of the mess you're in instead of giving in to God. Let's look at a couple of verses here in Psalm 10. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. It would do you good to read what the Bible says about pride. You'll find it's a serious problem. One of the most serious problems that man has is pride. Psalm 10 and verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, not all unsaved people just enjoy sin to the uttermost. Some unsaved people are pretty moral people. A lot of unsaved people are pretty moral people. Some of them may be even more moral than some of us tonight. But there's still a problem. It's a problem of pride. Because you see, a man in his natural state does not want to humble himself before God and say, God, I am wrong. You are right. You are just. I am a sinner. I am rebellious. I am wicked. I need to be saved. That takes a lot of humility. God's got to break a man. Is your pride standing in the way? Is it simply because you want to find some other way to solve the problems that you're in? You want to find some other way to get out of the mess you're in Because you don't want to simply say, God, I have really blown it. I have been wrong. I've been rebellious. I've been worldly. I've been thinking of myself. I've been loving myself. I've been doing the things that my own lust wants instead of what your spirit wants. I confess it as sin. I am ashamed. Forgive me. Maybe you just can't find the words and the attitude to say, God, I really blew it. And so maybe you're trying to find some other way. And you know it needs to be done, but you would rather do it without having to humble yourself. I mean, you'd rather somehow you just wake up one day and it's just gone or something. I mean, you wake up and maybe the frogs have just disappeared, you know? Maybe during the night they'll just walk off. Maybe during the night somehow there'll be a change in your life and in your heart, and you'll wake up, everything is fine, without having to break down, humble yourself and say, God, I have confessed my sin. Maybe you're afraid of what people might think of you. Maybe you're afraid that people will think that you're this or you're that, and so you don't want to humble yourself. Maybe you don't want to reconcile yourself to somebody in this church because you don't want to say, I was wrong. I did you wrong. I gossiped about you, or I backbited about you, or I was just evil. I was spiteful, or whatever I did wrong, and I have no excuse. I'm ashamed of it. Maybe you just can't find the word. You know, there are some people that have never in their life learned to say, forgive me. A lot of them can't even say, I'm sorry. We already know about that one, don't we? Saying I'm sorry don't cut the mustard in my book. But they can't even say, I'm sorry. They never learned it. Mom and dad never taught them. Did your mom and dad ever teach you to say, forgive me? I blew it. I was wrong. Maybe that's your problem. You want to find another solution. And if you're lost tonight, maybe you're trying to find another way to get to heaven. Maybe you want to find some other way instead of going to Jesus. Well, you know what? I live in Poland. And believe it or not, to this day, there is still a lot of animosity towards Jews in Poland. Oh, it's incredible. They despise them. They hate them. Oh, they won't say it with those exact words. But you can figure out, you know, reading between the lines. They even got a little sign how they imitate or mimic Jews. It's like this. Because Jews have beards, you know. They don't like Jews. You know how humiliating it is for a Jew hater to call on the Lord Jesus? He was a Jew. That's pretty tough. Maybe you don't want to call on the Lord. Maybe you think you can get to heaven by getting baptized or going to church. Maybe you think it's good enough just to give your money. Maybe you think it's good enough just to be a good person. If you only could be a good person. If you only could do it. The problem is you're not. The problem is no one is. There is none good but one, that is God. And you're trying to find some other way. You're trying to try this religion and that religion and this way and that way. Hey, don't you understand? Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross.
Amen.
And all you have to do is come to Him and humble yourself and say, oh God, I've been so proud. I've been so foolish. I've been so self-righteous. I've been so wrong. I need forgiveness. Maybe you're just trying to find another solution. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you'll have to like that. But that's what the Bible says. The same Bible that says, thou shalt not kill. And everybody believes that one, don't they? Yeah, man. Everybody knows that one. Thou shalt not kill. The Bible says that. Yeah, that's what it says. And then it says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only solution. Or maybe you're just going to, you just decided that you're going to just try your best to get used to the frogs. Maybe you think, well, you know, the frogs are everywhere, but, you know, maybe I'll get used to these frogs, you know. Maybe it won't be so bad. I'll train them, you know, and things won't be so bad after a few days. You know, I've heard people, when I talk to them, you know, on the streets and stuff, and during the conversation, they talk about how bad things are. Man, they talk about how their husband beats them, and how their kids are rebellious, or how their wife is no good, and how, you know, their parents are this and that, and their life is a disaster. I mean, some of them are alcoholics, some of them are drug addicts, some of them are just, you know, good moral people, but they still got problems because they got problems at work and problems at home and things are just not right, and they're complaining and they're going about how bad things are. But then you start trying to get them to understand that it's calling the Lord. They'd be saved and God would start changing their lives. They say, well, you know, it's not so bad. Hey, wait a minute. You just spent a half hour telling me how horrible things are. You just convinced me that you're on the brink of suicide. You just convinced me that I better stand at your door day and night in case you decide to go crazy. And now you say, well, things aren't so bad. I mean, it could be worse. Man, that's your problem. Maybe you just decided that it's a whole lot easier to try to get used to your rebellion, try to get used to how you're living, than to humble yourself. And so you're just going to try to get used to it. Make the best of it and just go on. And somehow you'll become numb to it. You probably will. And after a few weeks, Sunday morning come 10 o'clock, you don't even think about going to church anymore. After a few months, the Bible will mean nothing at all to you. And you'll become kind of numb to the Bible and to God's Spirit convicting you. But let me tell you something. Nothing has changed as far as the circumstances is concerned. What's changed is your own heart. It becomes hardened through sin. Sin is just as destructive. Sin is just as evil. It's just as harmful. And it's still going to kill and destroy and wreak havoc on your family, on your life. And you think everything is fine. I'm used to this life now. I'm used to living like this. But let me tell you something. What you don't realize is the price you're going to pay. You can't get used to frogs in the whole house. Anybody that comes in, even if you're used to them, and say, what are you doing? Have you ever been in someone's house that lived like a real pig? I've been in a few. Wow. I mean, they never clean the floor. They never make the bed. They never clean the kitchen. This is all piled to the ceiling. They never clean anything. And I mean nothing. Got real quiet in here all of a sudden. You've been there, and there's people in the house sitting down watching television. And you walk in, you think, yeah, can I help you? Something wrong? Oh, no, nothing's wrong at all. Everything is just fine. Give me a break. How can they get used to it? You know, they do, though, somehow. But, you know, any sane person walks in that situation, they say, wait a minute. What are you doing living in a pigsty? And that's how it'll be. Oh, you might feel like you're used to it. Anybody, though, comes up to you, anybody starts talking with you and living with you, or just gets to know you, they'll say, hey, wait a second. What are you living like this for? What do you mean? What's the problem? Hey, wake up. Are you just resigned to get used to your own sin or your own rebellion? Have you just decided that it's a lot easier just to get used to it and give in and not worry about being convicted, not worry about repenting? Oh, it's a lot easier because repentance takes a lot of humility. Oh, it's hard to say, brother, I offended you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oh, it's a lot harder to say to your wife, honey, please forgive me. And so you're going to make her get used to you because you're used to you. And you say, tomorrow I'll get my marriage straightened out, but you're just going to insist that she get used to you and she used to how you live and how you talk and everything else. Tomorrow, try to get used to it. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You are kidding yourself if you think that you will have total peace. You are kidding yourself. You might get used to it to a certain extent. You might be able to block out 99% of God's convicting Holy Spirit, but there is no peace. As long as you hold out and rebel against God, there will be no peace. Why would you put off? Why would you say, I'll do it tomorrow? Because you're proud. But you know what? The most likely one, at least for many people probably, is not that you enjoy it. It's not that you never have humbled yourself because you've done it, I'm sure, before. It's not that you're just going to get used to it. It's that you just want one more night with them frogs. You want a little bit more time to enjoy what you're doing. A little bit more time to enjoy who you are. A little bit more time to be king of the castle instead of making God the king of your life. You want a little bit longer to be in control. And you don't want anybody to be telling you what you have to do. You want to be in control for a little bit longer. You know it's wrong. You know it's sinful. You know it displeases the Lord. You know it hurts your family. You know it hurts the church. You know it hurts many people. But you say, I'm not going to give in yet. I want a little bit more fun. A little bit more pleasure. I want a little bit more of doing what I do, being who I am. I just want a little bit more. Haven't you had enough? I mean, if it's sin, haven't you had enough of the sin and of the misery and of the guilt? Haven't you had enough of fighting against God? How long do you plan on fighting against God? How long do you plan on resisting God's Spirit saying, hey, that's not right. That's not good. That is displeasing. That dishonors my name. That dishonors my word. That is a bad testimony. What are you doing living like that? What are you doing talking like that? What are you doing thinking like that? Haven't you had enough? Are you like Pharaoh? You just keep hardening your heart. Want one more night to have them Israelites on work detail making bricks. He wanted to get every single minute out of them Israelites. He didn't want to give up a good deal. He had a thing going. Man, they were putting out the bricks. One more night. Just give me a little bit more time. Hang on to the very last. That's how we are, isn't it? Don't let go until you have to. Don't let go until there is no other choice. And so he says, I mean, he was given the option, wasn't he? Moses said, when shall I pray? Oh, well, I have an option then. You mean I can get more time? Well, sure then. How about tomorrow? Maybe you're lost tonight. Maybe you're not saved yet. You know, I don't want to ask you, when are you going to get saved? I like to ask you, why wouldn't you do it today? I want to ask you, when do you think you're going to be ready to call on the Lord? I'm going to ask you, why tomorrow? Why would you want one more night in sin? Why would you want one more night on the road to hell? Why would you want one more night in a dead religion that gives you no hope, no assurance, no joy, no peace? Why tomorrow? Why one more night with them terrible, horrible frogs? It makes no sense whatsoever. And I'm sorry, none of these options make any sense. I don't care where you are. I don't care which one fits you. They don't make sense. Why tomorrow? Well, you may have a question for me. Your question may be, why not tomorrow? I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, what's 24 hours? Or 12? I mean, it's even less now. A little more than 4 hours. Why not tomorrow? What is the rush? Hello? You like frogs? I mean, why not tomorrow? I mean, yet you enjoy a house full of frogs? You wouldn't say that about frogs or mice in your house, would you? You wouldn't say, well, honey, I think tomorrow's fine. No. Why not tomorrow? You may ask. I'll tell you why. Because you can have peace and joy and assurance and everlasting life beginning right now.
Amen.
What do you mean, why not tomorrow? Why have tomorrow what you can have now? I mean, would you rather be rich tomorrow or right now? Would you rather have your dessert tomorrow or right now? I like dessert now. In fact, life is uncertain. Eat dessert first. You can have it now. You can have eternal life beginning now if you call on the Lord. And if you're saved tonight and yet fighting against God, why would you want peace tomorrow, even have it now? Why would you want to rebel and then have peace tomorrow when you can surrender now and have peace with God now? Why would you want to reconcile tomorrow when you can reconcile tonight? Ah, we know why. Because you want the other person to come to you and bow down before you, don't you? Well, she offended me too. Big deal. You know what? You're not going to answer to God for her. You're going to answer to God for yourself. Why not tomorrow? Because you can have peace and comfort and hope and rest today. You can get rid of those frogs now. You can get rid of all those things now. You can surrender now and say, oh wow, why would I wait any longer? How many of you people tonight can say, just like many people have told me that got saved many months. You said, I heard the gospel 10 years ago, but I was stubborn and rebellious and I wouldn't give in. But how stupid I was. I mean, look at what I missed out on. I had 10 years of misery and sorrow and troubles. Why did I do it sooner? Amen. The same thing applies now, brother and sister. Why not tomorrow? Because you can have it today. You don't have to put it in layaway. You can have it now. It doesn't cost you a lot of money. It costs more than that, unfortunately, humility. You'd rather pay money for it. You'd rather cut off your right arm than humble yourself and say, I was wrong, wouldn't you? A whole lot easier to do all those things than this to say, I was wrong. You may ask, why not tomorrow? You can be saved today. You can get right with God today. You can get right with your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your kids, your parents. Today. You don't have to wait. Why not tomorrow, you may ask? I'll tell you, because tomorrow, God may not give you the same opportunity. Proverbs chapter 1. I got news for you. God is on the throne. You're not. You think you are. And maybe in your own life, in your own decisions, in the way you do things, you are on the throne. But in the whole scheme of things, God is in control. The very fact that you are here tonight is a testimony to the mercy of a gracious God. There are some people who aren't here tonight who probably would like to be here tonight. And they would give anything to be here tonight. I mean, that old rich man in hell, he said, oh, send Lazarus back to my brothers and to tell them so that they don't come to the same place. There are people in hell tonight that would give anything to be back in a meeting like this, hearing the gospel, ready to surrender. Amen. And trust in Christ as your Savior. But they're not going to make it. Because God has no obligation to give you the same opportunity day after day after day after day. Maybe He hasn't till today. I don't know how long God's given you. I don't know how long you've been here or been coming here. But you know what? There is no obligation on God's part to keep you alive or healthy or in a state of mind where you can actually repent and believe the gospel. No obligation. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 23. Let's read 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Did you hear that? You mean God, the all-loving, all-merciful, all-compassionate God, would actually say, when they call, I'm not going to answer? How dare He do that? How could He do such a thing? Don't forget, He's God. He does what He wants. And if He gave you one opportunity, He gave you one more than you deserve. And He gave you one more day of life. He gave you one more day than you deserve. Who are you to demand that God give you the same opportunities day after day, year after year, for the rest of your life until you're 80 years old? God has no obligation. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why not tomorrow, you may ask? Because tomorrow, God may not give you the opportunity. You just may not have the same convicting power of the Holy Spirit telling you, why don't you get saved? How many people have you talked to, you, Christian brother and sister, that one day they're ready, one day they're convicted, one day while calling the Lord, but they say, tomorrow. And the next day, they don't even know you. They don't want to talk to you. They curse you, they curse God, they curse the Bible. What happened? The day before, they were convicted. The day before, they really were convinced that it was true. And then the next day, all things changed. If you're not saved tonight, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. Even if you're alive, you may not be in a situation where you can actually call on the Lord. God just may say, you want to call on me, but I'm not going to answer. Or you're going to really be in a situation where you don't even have any conviction or desire to even be saved. And you'll be hardened against the gospel tomorrow. Look in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. You're here tonight and you're saved. And God is dealing with you on something. And you say, why not tomorrow? Look at this one. 16:20. You know the story of Samson. Samson is a mighty man of God, and he's also a very mighty strong man of God. And this woman, this Delilah, she's trying to get him to tell her the secret of his strength. And she has tried night after night after night, and he keeps lying to her. He keeps deceiving her. He won't tell the truth. And each time he lies to her, she ties him all up, and then she calls in the thugs to come in and get him, and he breaks loose. And then one time, he gave in, and he told her the truth. So, he fell asleep, and she tied him up. And verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Oh, maybe you're here tonight and you think, well, you know, tomorrow is a better time. I can do it tomorrow because I've repented many times before. I mean, I've gone out and done these things before, and the next day I repented. You don't know that tomorrow you'll have the opportunity. You ask, why not tomorrow? Because tomorrow you may not have the chance. Samson thought, I've always gotten out of this situation. I have always gotten out of this. I'm good at this. I'm a pro. I mean, I get out of this every time. I know how to do it. I got to figure it out down to the T. He went too far. He went too far. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16. Let's read verse 15. 2 Chronicles 36, 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. That's a sad verse. They made God so mad, and instead of destroying them, he sent prophets. They rebelled against God, so God had mercy. And he sent prophets and messengers. They wouldn't do God's will. They wouldn't do it God's way. So he sends people to them, preaching to them to repent. And what did they do? They mocked them and despised his words and misused the prophets. And then God got so mad that there was no remedy. Hey, you're out of possibilities. You reject God's word. You reject the Holy Spirit of God trying to tell you to repent of your sins, to get right with God. What other chance is there? You are out of opportunities when you reject, when you refuse to surrender to God. And you don't know that God will send someone to you tomorrow. He just might not. Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, Luke 19:42 now, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, what a tragic scripture. A city who has the one time blessing in all of history to receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And they reject him. They just refuse him. They don't want Him. They don't want Jesus. They don't want that King. They even said, we have no king but Caesar. He says, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew the opportunity you had. If you only knew what was offered you. If you only knew how good it could have been. They knew not the time of their visitation. You ask, why not tomorrow? I tell you, because tomorrow things could be different. Also, tomorrow things could not only be different, they could be worse. They could be worse. Pharaoh found that one out, didn't he? You think frogs were a problem? You think frogs were a big deal when he lost his firstborn son? I think he could have handled the frogs instead of losing his son. But if he'd have given in, he wouldn't have had the frogs or lost his son. But things got worse because Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, no thanks, I'm not going to give in. You ask me, why not tomorrow? Tomorrow things could get worse because the fruit of your rebellion could get worse. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That whirlwind can be pretty destructive. You mess around with sin today, tomorrow the fruits of that sin could be so much worse. Do you even realize how bad it could really get? I don't think Pharaoh had a clue. I don't think he had a clue how bad it would get. I don't think we have a clue. And if you're rebellious tonight, you probably don't realize how bad it could get. You could lose so much. You can lose your family. You can lose your children. You can lose your wife. You can lose your testimony. You can hurt so many people. Do you realize what will happen if you continue in rebellion? It makes no sense. You say, why not tomorrow? I say, ask Pharaoh. Now ask Pharaoh. Why not tomorrow? Because things got worse. Proverbs 27. Why are you asking, why not tomorrow? Doesn't make sense. 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why not tomorrow? Hey, wake up! Tomorrow may never come for you. I mean, you're gonna die sometime, and the day you die, it'll be today, not tomorrow. So you won't see tomorrow one of these days. One of these days, tomorrow is not gonna arrive. It may be tomorrow, it may be next week, but sooner or later, your tomorrow is not going to come. Why not tomorrow, you ask? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You may have to give account to God before you have a chance to get right with God. Oh, wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't that be a horrible shame to give account to God, to a God that saved you, and you missed out on a chance to get right with Him before you died, and you knew what you should do, and you were in open rebellion against God? You're going to stand one day, if you're saved tonight, you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to give account to God for the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. And by God's grace, if you are saved, you will not be condemned to an everlasting hell. But you're still going to give account to God. And you're going to miss out on blessings. You're going to miss out on rewards. You're going to miss out on so much if you don't simply surrender today to God. Do what God said. Tomorrow, you may not have a chance. James chapter 4. You're here tonight and you're lost. Maybe you don't know that you're saved and you don't have the assurance of salvation and you think, I'll do it tomorrow. How do you know? Can you put that in writing? I mean, can you give me a guarantee that tomorrow you'll be here? You may have every intention on doing it tomorrow, but my friend, tomorrow may never come for you. James 4 verse 13. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Oh, if you only knew, right? If you could just tell me what's going to happen tomorrow, you wouldn't have a worry in the world, would you? But you don't know. And that's why you shouldn't be asking, why not tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I don't care how old you're going to live. I don't care how long you're going to live. It's still a vapor. I mean, compared to even the several thousand years of history, what is 80 years, 90 years? It's but a vapor. It's but a drop in the bucket. And compared to eternity, it's nothing. Your life is a vapor. And why are you boasting about tomorrow? Why are you making plans that tomorrow you'll get saved? Tomorrow I'll humble myself. Tomorrow I'll get right with God. Tomorrow I'll call on the Lord. Tomorrow I'll get right with my wife. Tomorrow I'll do God's will. Tomorrow I'll obey God. Tomorrow may never come. You know what the Bible says? Look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 7. Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today. Today. That's not hard. Today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And if you read on, what happened? They didn't go in. They didn't inherit the rest. They didn't enjoy the promised land, because they wouldn't get right. They wouldn't do God's will. Today, harden not your hearts. Do God's will. Today, surrender to God. Today, surrender whatever you're holding back from God. Because today is the day. Amen. You're lost today. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow you have no idea about. Tomorrow is a whole different story. Tomorrow is a mystery to everyone except God. Tomorrow is total mystery. You have no idea about tomorrow. You've been making plans for tomorrow all day. And you should. But just remember this. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Your plans tomorrow may not come about. They may be all lost. And if you plan tomorrow to get saved, you'll be lost too. Forever and ever. In a lake of fire. Is that what you're willing to gamble? Tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. If you look in Luke chapter 23... Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but I don't know about this today stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think that it just, nobody knows. And maybe one day that, you know, when we die, we'll find out. And God decides that. And those that are good go to heaven. Those that are bad go to hell. My friend, if that's what you think, you don't have a prayer. If you really think that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, you and I don't stand a chance. Hello? You're not good. You don't believe me? Ask your wife. She'll tell you. Ask your mom and dad. Ask your neighbors. Ask your boss. Ask your coworkers. Who are you trying to fool? And maybe you think, no, but I don't know about this today stuff. I don't think anybody can ever know. Well, look at this verse, Luke 23. Luke 23, and we're going to read verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, what are you talking about? You ain't got a prayer, man. You're not good. Did Jesus say that? Well, nobody knows, and I can't tell you for sure. I mean, but we'll see. You know, after you die, we'll weigh this and we'll weigh that, and we'll see what's better, and we'll just see how good you were, and how much you prayed, and how much you were baptized, and everything else. Jesus didn't say that either. What did he say? Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. You don't have to live with them frogs anymore. You can get rid of them today. You can surrender to God today. Call on the Lord today and be saved forever and ever.
Amen.
Today. And you, Christian, today is the day to get things right. You can have peace now. You can get it right now. Because tomorrow, God may not give you the same chance, and tomorrow you may not be here, and you would meet God with unconfessed sin, with open rebellion, with pride in your heart. What are you waiting for? When? Tomorrow or today? It's up to you. God bless you.